As with any baseball season, or any portion of any baseball season, you're going to have stories within the story. And man, your favorite team has one going on that's pretty significant at the position behind the plate. Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning from New York. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or hockey, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Mets 6, Pirates 3. Another deflating loss. It seems like of the handful of losses that they've had in this strong start, that they really suck the soul right out of you, you know? Everything looked very much in control. Martin Perez looked as sharp as he had at any other point in his own strong start. And then, boom, there goes a three-run lead. And within that, Henry Davis, your resident number one overall pick, at least until Paul Skeens arrives, went 0 for 4, struck out again, looking committed, depending on your viewpoint on this. And I kind of had mixed feelings on some of these myself, but depending on your viewpoint, was at least involved or peripherally involved in three miscues in the field. And it's just not going well for Henry. He's batting 170. He's got 8 hits and close to 50 plate appearances, couple extra base hits, just not making anything happen. And he knows it too. I hung around well after the game to wait him out in the clubhouse. And as I approached, I didn't even have to ask a question. This was how he started the conversation.
No, I mean, obviously the team's playing well, and I'm not. So thankful to have people picking me up, but I got to figure it out. So doing everything I can every day to make adjustments and play like the player I know I am.
Really bright kid. Just a wonderful kid. Giving you everything he's got, and it ain't happening. And I don't know whether to blame some swing adjustment that he made this offseason. I wouldn't know who to blame that on. He wanted nothing to do with blaming anything of the kind. He did acknowledge that he tried himself within the past few days to get away from it, to try something on his own. And that didn't work out. He was kicking himself for that. And it's a tough, tough situation. And by the way, I'm just going to throw this in parenthetically because that's all it's worth. Anybody who's clamoring out there for Henry to be sent down, you got to understand that right now that's not an option. Yasmani Grandal is not healthy. Jason DeLay is not healthy. The two catchers on this scene are the only ones the Pirates have available, that being Henry and, of course, Joey Bart. And that brings me to the other subject at hand, although it's very much related, and that's Bart himself. Bart arrived here, plucked by Ben Cherington, with a bunch of pedigree of his own. Number 2 overall pick in 2018 of the Giants. Never really stuck. He's now 27 years old. He's past prospect age. He's getting close to suspect age. And he shows up here and he goes 4 for 10 with 2 bombs, 5 RBIs, 3 walks. This is such an infinitesimal sample size that it's scarcely worth discussing, except that you have to understand that Bart was only going to get that here. There are too many other catchers who were already present, not least of which is Henry. And this dude, to his credit, goes out there and delivers. Boom, boom, boom. Looks okay behind the plate, too. So I know the standard question is, what do you do with all these catchers when everybody's healthy and Standard answer that I give to that is that it'll always work itself out. But Henry's own issues are probably going to need a little bit more than that. He's struggling at the plate. He acknowledged to me last night after the game that he's carried some of those struggles behind the plate, which really hadn't been a problem for him back whenever he was mashing in spring training. And it hadn't been a problem for him over the first couple weeks of the season, at least not visibly, at least not stuff that the, you know, the untrained, unprofessional eye would be able to pick up on. But when you see some of the stuff last night, him trying to backhand that slider from Aroldis Chapman, it gets away from him. Then he, maybe out of frustration, makes a bad throw down to first base that didn't even need to be made. It goes out into right field. The runners didn't go anywhere from there, but still, it's just such a rotten look and a rotten feel to it. My own sense for this young man is that his bat has to come first. When he hits, everything else feels as if it falls into place for him. That's the player and the person that I saw in Bradenton. That's the player and the person that the people responsible now at field level have to find a way to get back. Hey, you know what? This isn't going to be one of those players they can hide in the minors. This isn't going to be one of those where they can say, let's just send him back because he's not doing enough. Uh-uh. Inside the same building at 115 Federal Street, a consensus was reached among this team's top baseball people that the number one player in the land in 2021 was Henry Davis. They're not going to be seeing eye to eye with the people at field level who say, maybe he's not so good. When we come back, J1Q.
This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park.
Today's J1Q comes from Tom, who says, DK, this being tax week, what is the most taxing aspect of watching Pirates baseball for you? For me, it's watching O'Neill Cruz play shortstop. Really? You have that much of a problem watching Cruz at short? I'm not sure why, Tom. I wish you'd elaborate on that because I don't get it. He's not, you know, Jack Wilson out there with the smooth vacuum cleaner-like glove or whatever. But one of the things that you have to understand about Cruz at that position, and this was something that a scout told me, this was 2 years ago, was that because of his size, two things are going to happen. One is he's going to look extremely unusual to you, because your eye and your mind's eye have seen a certain type of build at that position forever, with the exception of a Cal Ripken or a Troy Tulowitzki or someone who is, 6'3 or 6'4. But even then, Cruz is, way bigger than those guys. So it just doesn't look right. So as a result, the body motions aren't going to look right, maybe, to you, because they're not familiar, they're not fluid in the way that you think of fluidity at that position. That said, the other thing that the scout mentioned, and there's actually two more, was that watch his glove as it goes to the ground for a hard grounder. If it's under the ball, then he's fine. And according to this scout, it's always been under the ball. It was under the ball whenever he was in the Dodger system. It's been under the ball the entire time he's been with the Pirates, including now. That's extremely important. Not according to me, but according to this scout. I don't even really know why. But it sounds really significant coming from the scout. The other thing, because of his size and the length of his strides and the length of his limbs, he will get to baseballs that other humans wouldn't without much greater effort. The humans making the greater effort are going to look like they're more athletic and more dynamic. When Cruz takes 2.5 steps for someone else needing 3. And I'm not even getting into his arm. His arm overcomes a lot of other things. I thought when I first saw your entry that you were going to talk about Cruz's struggles at the plate of late. He's 0 for his last 9 with 7 Ks. Had some pretty klutzy looking at bats last night. He'll snap out of that. I don't worry about him at the plate, like, at all. But since you additionally, within your question, asked me what it is that drives me the most nuts when I'm watching this team, it's by far looking at strike three. I just can't. They do this, Tom, with people all over the bases. They do it with 2 outs. They do it regardless of the game settings. And it just blows my mind that there's anybody at any level of this organization, never mind at the very top, who watches this on a regular basis and says, yes, this is fine. This is fine. This is conducive to good offense. This is what we strive to be. And I understand there have been some tangible rewards for it already this season, that it's nice to run up people's pitch counts. Run it up on strikes 1 and 2. Okay, not on strike 3. Learn how to protect the plate at least a little bit. I don't think that you're ever going to see a return to baseball from the, you know, 1950s and 60s and 70s where you had the 2 strike choke up. I mean, heck, I don't know if I see anybody choke up for any reason anymore in baseball. Not since Corey Dickerson. Remember Dickerson would do that? It was just a handful of years ago for the Pirates. And he'd find a way to just, you know, slap the ball to the other field or something. I guess that's just no longer a smart thing to do after being a smart thing to do for the first century and a half of this great game. I don't get that. I definitely don't like that. I'm open-minded to what might make it better, but I've yet to be convinced on that front or even close to it. Seeing this team just say, yeah, you know what? It's already strike 2. What difference is strike 3 going to make? You know, that's what that looks like at times. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates, and we'll have another one from here in New York tomorrow.